startups around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. It is the weekend of February 23rd, 24th. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend. I hope you're not getting all of this bad weather here in the country. You're just staying warm and dry. Godspeed to all of you. We have a fantastic show today. We are continuing our Black History Month salute, interviewing incredible African-American entrepreneurs. I have two of them up for you today. We have T.L. Robinson. She's going to tell us about her skincare company that she has created. And then we have Melinda Emerson, used to be with the New York Times as the small business lady. No one is more in touch with small business around the country than Melinda. So we're excited to speak with both of them. Excited to be with you. And hope you're having a fantastic weekend. But we need to get started. We're going to jump right in and go ahead and get playing because we got a lot to do today. So let's go. I'm very excited to introduce you to my first guest. She is running an amazing business called MassEden.com. It is a skin products company that uses only natural and organic ingredients. And it produces products that are safe for all skin types, especially sensitive skin. The founder, T.L. Robinson, is with us today. She is a wellness advocate and public speaker, is the founder of the company MassEden, and has been running it for about the last 4 or 5 years. She also blogs there and has readers from around the world, 4 continents. T.L., welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Tell us about the business. Where did the idea come from? How'd you get started? What was the very first thing that you did?
You know, it was definitely not a planned business. I call myself an accidental entrepreneur. Really got introduced personally to what we call green beauty or green body care on a trip to Cuba. I was there on vacation, forgot some of my body care products at the resort we were staying at. We were doing a short overnight trip kind of out in the country, and a local, you know, gave me some products to try, and I tried them. I noticed, you know, the irritation that I normally have with my skin, the redness, the swelling, a lot of that went down pretty quickly. And within 24 hours, I noticed a drastic difference. You know, at that time, I didn't attribute it to the products. I'm thinking, okay, I'm on vacation. I'm less stressed than what I am when, you know, I'm back in the States and working. And at that time I was working, in the finance industry. And so, you know, it was a little bit of a miss for me at that time. I had the experience. I tried it. I continued on with the vacation, kind of using the products. I really noticed a difference really when I got back into the States and, you know, started using my normal products. I had the flare-ups with my skin. You know, I have sensitive skin. And it was really at that time, you know, with the skincare products and also with my health, I was struggling with my health and changing my diet and kind of going to a cleaner diet that I was really able over a period of time to connect the dots that and learn that what you put on your skin is just as important as what you put in your skin. And, you know, started the journey there, continued my learning, continued my practices, you know, and kind of stumbled in to creating this brand. It was purely by accident.
Cool. All right. So how are you able to get, like, was there a secret formula in Cuba, or did you export from Cuba? How did you end up actually being involved with that particular combination of ingredients?
Okay, so really the connection was for sensitive skin, there are some ingredients that are triggering. Learning that sensitive skin is a spectrum. It's just not being sensitive or everyone who has sensitive skin being sensitive or triggered by the same family of ingredients. For myself, I learned that it was artificial ingredients. It was a combination of ingredients. And so it wasn't just, you know, that piece of it. I was able to kind of connect the dots and learn for myself. And then compared to the ingredients that are currently on the market in mainstream and also in green products as well. And then just, you know, figure out what I did not need for myself. To really learn about the ingredients or the formulas for the products, I actually went to school to learn about product formulation, to learn about specific ingredients, to learn about the impacts to skin, and then worked with, you know, some really great people in the industry, a company that taught me more about formulation and kind of helped me get the beta started, and then just went on from there. So really it was about education. It was about learning about suppliers, learning about ingredients, and then having a great team with me to get the product up and moving.
So you created your own formula then from scratch?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Had to.
Right.
Some companies work with formulators that do the work for them. For myself, I wanted my fingerprint in the DNA of all of the products. To really speak to them, to speak for them, to speak about them. And as a person with sensitive skin, I can be the strongest advocate for other people with sensitive skin and really kind of pouring into the products that way. So absolutely.
All right. And I know that there are companies, for example, that make supplements for the healthcare industry, and you tell them what you want in there and they fill the little pills for you. I've actually been to a factory that does that. So I assumed then that you went and found a lotion company. Is that a company, a formulation specialist? Is that, am I getting the term right? What is this business even called? The people who do the formulations.
So I wouldn't necessarily call it just like one business, but you're right. There are third parties out there that companies can work with that will manufacture the products for them. And it's either you can give them a formulation that can be, you know, tested and confirmed, and then they manufacture, or they do everything in scratch in house and you get different samples that you can test and give to them. So there are product formulators. There are cosmetic chemists. There are a couple different names that the people in the field can go by.
And how did you find one of those that you trusted, and how close to you were they? Did you have to go across the country, or what was that manufacturing step like?
You know, it's a big step. I think anyone who gets into this space has to do a lot of research. I think it's appropriate to go through a lot of different companies. You know, we have access to amazing technology to where a simple search engine request or query and results there can get you started on your path. Wanted to make sure that the products are manufactured here in the United States. So working with companies that are here in the States and sourcing ingredients locally as well is also important to me in the brand, for the brand. So it's really just kind of getting started on the search. And once you're in the industry and you're going to conferences and you meet with other founders and brand owners, you can get a lot of connections that way as well. I will tell you that within the industry, there are big conferences domestically and internationally that gives you access to great suppliers.
All right. I am really impressed so far. All right. So at some point they gave you your first box arrived at your house or something, right?
Yes. The first box arrived.
That must've been so exciting.
It's very exciting. You know, when you see it, you know, your thoughts, your dreams, your efforts, when you see your sacrifices, when you see your insecurities turn into something positive and they show up, it is a surreal moment when you see your marketing efforts and your contributions into the marketing in front of you in a finished product. I mean, it's definitely an emotional moment. I had to take it in. Opening the box, you know, it was like Christmas, seeing everything, touching everything. I will tell you, it's one of the best moments I've had in life to date. I can't explain it. I think anyone who pours all of them into something and they see a finished product, whether it's something that you can actually touch or, you know, it's tangible, it's amazing. And I wish everyone could have that experience. It's definitely motivation to keep me moving forward, you know, to continue to move on. And then once you see customers who can use the products and say, you know, my issues are calming down because of the products, or I'm educated because I read your blog and I can make better decisions for myself because of the information that you're providing. It's amazing.
All right. So what'd you do with the box though? Did you walk down the street and give it away to people, or did you walk into the A&P and say, hey, I can sell this too? Or so what's the next step? How'd you sell number one?
TL? You know, number one was sold to a potential business resource, you know, someone that wanted to come on board and be a support to the team. And they were the first person that went online and bought that first box, or not the first box, but the very first container of product that was in our beta. And it's just really word of mouth. It's really getting out there. It's, you know, doing podcasts, radio shows. It's talking to friends and family. Again, it's going to those conferences. It is a lot of effort to put, you know, myself out there as a founder and owner, and to put the brand out there. And it's really about relationships. So, you know, a lot of the product, you know, handing out to friends and family just so they could experience it. And that's really what that first box was. It was outside of testing the product initially. It was getting that product into as many hands as possible. Did sponsorship for a couple of events and handed out products in goodie bags and swag bags and for speakers at events and things like that. So that's really where the first several boxes went to, actually.
All right, we'll hear more of the story in just a minute. We will be right back with more School for Startups Radio. Thank you so much for being with us this fantastic weekend. Probably snowing where you are. Beautiful where I am. And where did the very first sale that you have no idea where it came from? How long did it take to get that sale complete from California or just completely out of the blue?
You know, that happened within the first week. It was
no way.
It happened with someone in Vermont. Person I never met.
Oh, those Vermont people are crazy. They'll buy any skin lotion from what I hear.
You know, there's a big industry, a big community in Vermont, especially in the green space. A lot of big names that are out there. One in particular that I admire a lot. And actually reading up on this particular founder was the one that gave me the courage to really get into the formulation side myself, you know, prior to reading about this particular company and really getting into the industry, wasn't sure how to start. And it was, you know, reading about people that I admire, reading about the company, and you really learn what's possible from other people who are striving and achieving in that market as well. I have nothing negative to say about the folks in Vermont or anywhere.
I went to college in Vermont, so I love it. It's my second or third favorite place in all the United States. I just love Vermont.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's just, yes. And it's so cold up there. I can imagine you're going to need some extra lotion during the winter. All right. Now, what does your marketing campaign look like? So you've evolved away from word of mouth, probably. What are you doing now? And how much, you have any idea what percent of your revenue you're spending on marketing?
You know, percentage of revenue, especially for a startup company. So you kind of gave a little bit of my time in the business in my introduction. So really the first three years was about beta. It was about learning. So the brand was out, but we were in a soft launch, right? It was trying to get in front of as many people as possible to learn about skincare. So in that time, I had an opportunity to talk to over 500 people. I was still working corporate at that time. And, you know, intentional efforts going out to meet with people. And if I had to travel for work or family events, if I was in an airport, a restaurant or something, I was out talking to people and asking questions and doing surveys. So that was the first way of putting word of mouth out about the company and what I was trying to do. So now that, you know, we are really in the fourth year of the entire brand being on the market, but still technically the first year of our hard launch with the current product line, I would say over 50% of revenue goes back into marketing. That's into social media. That's more event sponsorship. That's getting in and being a speaker at events, because really for me, it's about educating people. It's not just about selling a product and saying, you know, my product is great or you'll realize these results and things of that nature. For me, it's about educating people. So it's a lot of time and effort to get in front of people to share about green beauty, to share about the possibilities of what's happening to our skin. You know, a lot of people who are realizing breakouts may not have bad skin, or it may not be acne. It could be an allergic reaction, right, to the ingredients that we're using. So a lot of that is about educating folks. So yeah, a little over 50% goes back into marketing, and that's being at events, that's, you know, social media. We're going to do a mailing launch here starting in the next couple of weeks that I'm really excited about. Started working with influencers to where they're actually getting the word out about the brand. So yeah, where we are looking at, you know, newspapers, where people are still reading newspapers. So there's a newspaper campaign that's coming, and also working with the team to help us get a commercial out. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, I'm not going to ask you how much money you've invested so far. That's absolutely none of our business. But you have been able to bootstrap, it sounds like. Is that accurate? Am I correct in that?
Yes, it is accurate. Anytime, you know, you're starting a business, you have an opportunity for investors or things of that nature. And for me, I just wanted to invest in myself. I wanted to take that risk on myself and get the business started and see where, you know, it could go. So definitely bootstrapped. I used my savings. Having worked in corporate for a while, I ticked away a good chunk of change to where I could utilize that money to get the company off the ground, get it moving, and get it attention within the industry. And we're definitely getting that now. So it's a really great feeling to start everything from scratch and finance it on my own and see the progress that that the brand is realizing and has been making and continues to make. So I'm very proud of that.
Well, I'm really impressed. How are sales going? Are we getting shipment every day? Are you able to support yourself? I guess I'm sort of implying that you left the corporate world at some point and are doing this full time now, which would imply to me that you are selling some stuff and making some money.
Yeah, absolutely. So did leave corporate at some point as I was moving this forward. And really, that was the time of getting the education and really learning how to formulate, understanding ingredients, understanding the combination of ingredients, and really getting into the science of the brand. So if I was going to do this, I wanted to be all in. I definitely didn't want to leave that up to someone else. I wanted to be an organic founder that really understood the foundation of what I was making and building. So moving that forward, the sales are pretty solid. For any startup, it takes a good amount of time unless, you know, you have that one new niche idea that is just so brand new that it pulls everyone in. So we're definitely in the space of generating revenue. It takes, I think, about 5 years to really start getting those solid returns back. So still in that space of bootstrapping and working with what I have saved to move the business forward, but we are seeing a good amount of sales every month. A lot of the sales are coming from people that I don't know, which means that word of mouth is continuing on. The reviews that we're getting from people, they're sharing them with folks. So we have a good amount of sales going forward. But like I said, being a brand that started, 2015, and that was the time of our beta, and that was our soft launch, to really being in hard launch in third quarter of last year. So this is really like our first solid year. We're in a really good space.
Well, congratulations. I love it. Let's switch gears, TL, and talk about something a little bit different now. African American, you're a woman. You have, that is one of the most discriminated against spaces. Are you finding any difference between working in the corporate world and being an entrepreneur? Is one of those spaces better off for you? What experiences have you had?
I think that being a woman of color and being an African-American woman of color in any space presents its own unique challenges, right? I would not say for myself, my experience has been different based upon being corporate versus being an entrepreneur, because people are people. One thing I learned about working in corporate America is that who people are outside of work is who they are inside of work. It may be a little more subtle if they have certain beliefs that are negative, unfortunately, but they are who they are. So I will say the only difference for me is that being an entrepreneur is that if I come across a difficult or challenging person, I have more autonomy and control to determine whether or not I want to still move forward. Being in the space of wellness and promoting wellness, I choose to not engage with people that would challenge my character, right? That would force me to behave or think or feel, which is outside of my normal character. For me, that's the real difference, is that if I don't want to engage, I don't have to engage with the person who shares certain beliefs through their words or their actions. So for me, that's been the difference. Are the people there? Absolutely. Right now, I just don't engage. And that's really my personal brand, but also in the ethos of Mass Eden, it's about your wellness and it's about staying away from toxicity. And that just isn't limited to products. It's related to relationships as well.
Welcome back to School for Startups Radio. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I want to ask a stupid question. I hope this doesn't offend you, TL, but I would assume that your products are for the mass market, right? You have not specialized toward any particular niche.
Outside of, you know, really the brand is for consumers who are health conscious or have sensitive skin that don't want to compromise on quality, or sacrifice on quality or compromise their self-identity. And really, skin is skin. I'm still a little surprised by people who would look at skin differently, right? I mean, it's melanin. You know, some skin has more melanin than others, but skin is skin. And, you know, different races of people have sensitive skin. So it's for everyone.
Okay, good. I like that. And the marketing, then, you market it as a sensitive skin. I'm on the website right now. And what I guess I'm getting at, TL, is a lot of the entrepreneurs we have talked to this month have found the online space is just extra great for African Americans because there are no biases there. I'm buying, I don't care who I'm buying from. I just want a product that makes my skin feel better, right? Have you found that? Is that the experience that you've discovered as well, that online is particularly fertile?
Online is fertile. You can go online and search for anything and get anything that you're essentially looking for. And again, the online community, as far as like biases, is the same as the community. Okay. If you're interacting, you know, the retail stores stand up. So it's the same thing. I think that some founders who do not put their likeness on their website will probably realize less, right? Because they're not exposed. No one sees anything. For myself, I could have chosen to do that, but I have nothing to hide. I'm very proud of who I am as a person. I'm very proud of the brand. I'm very proud of attaching my likeness to the brand. And if someone does not want to purchase the brand for whatever reason, because it is a gender neutral brand, because it is a green brand, because we market to everyone, because I am a woman of color, that's their issue. And I'm not going to own that.
I 100% agree. What about Amazon? Have you started selling there yet?
I have not started selling on Amazon. I'm still actually doing some research in that space. I will tell you are probably about the seventh or eighth person that has come to me and said, hey, consider Amazon. So that's definitely up for consideration. Being a brand, it is definitely, you know, or owning a brand and being a founder, it's definitely on the list of places to consider. Just want to make sure that I put the brand in the right space. Like right now, we're on the online retail platform Usely, which is a great space, and getting exposure there has been really great. So just kind of opening the door to consider what other platforms would work for us. Right now, Amazon has so many products there. I'm just reaching out to other brands to see what their experience is like.
Well, if you decide you want to do it, we would love to partner with you. My wife is an Amazon sales specialist, and we've had some products that are fairly similar, TL. We sell baby supplements, you know, for, you know, like babies who aren't nursing well. And are you shy or bashful, TL?
Yes, I will tell you, to be honest, I am shy. I am an introvert, but I have found speaking about the brand, speaking about my story, you know, overcoming my health struggle, which put me in the space of really focusing on my health and wellness and cleaning up my diet and my body care, that shyness and introversion actually goes away naturally.
Okay. So we also sell gluten, organic, non-GMO sex lube.
Oh, wow. I would be shy about that.
But I'm just telling you, we're in your space, you know? So if we can sell gluten-free sex lube, we can handle mass eating.
And the fact that you can just talk about that so openly lets me know that you are not shy.
Well, you know, I am shy, but I love the reaction that I get. I went to a school party, and all the school people were there. And like one person in the neighborhood knows that, you know, we sell gluten-free sex lube. And at that party, I think everyone there was found out. People just thought it was hysterical because, you know, I'm a very conservative guy. You know, we're normal conservative people. But, you know, if you have an allergic reaction to sex lube, there's nothing worse.
You know, I would imagine people with sensitive skin are pretty much sensitive everywhere. And if they have an allergy, they are triggered by that allergy, whether it's a body care product, whether it's food, whether it's in detergent. And I think that's, people have a miss with that. You will have a reaction anywhere. So,
well, I hope you consider us, and we would be honored to sell for you on Amazon and help roll that out for you.
Thank you for the offer. I appreciate that.
And you can tell all your friends you've been checking into our references. TL, you are a hoot. I love getting to know your story, and I'm so glad that I got this time with you. How can we find out more, follow you online, and most importantly, buy some of the best skincare products that will not irritate our body? Tell us everything, please.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. So people can learn more about the brand at masseden.com.
Well, TL, I'm impressed with everything you've done, and I'm going to tell my wife about your company, and I appreciate you being with us today. You're great.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
I'm excited to welcome back an old friend of mine. She's been on the show several times before. Her name is Melinda Emerson. She is the small business lady. There is no one else. Absolutely amazing. Listen to her career. Well, she was... For a long time, she's been running a company called Quintessence Multimedia, which helps big companies like Enterprise, Rent-A-Car, Johnson & Johnson, Xerox, Verizon, FedEx, some of her clients, sell and market to small business. She has also been the New York Times small business blogger and is the author of two books, I think. The last one was called Fix Your Business, a 90-Day Plan to Get Your Life Back and Remove Chaos from Your Business. And this is the most amazing thing. Forbes named her the number one woman for entrepreneurs to follow on Twitter. Melinda, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I'm always happy to talk about small business.
Exactly. Me too. How did you go from normal everyday person to the small business lady, the absolute pinnacle of small business everything? I mean,
oh my gosh, you make it sound so amazing. Well, you know what? I have been an entrepreneur for 20 years. And literally about, you know, 13 years ago, as I was running my business, I'd been in business maybe about 7 years, I got pregnant with my son. And I ended up on bed rest. And you got to realize, this was like 2005. This was before Wi-Fi was everywhere and you could just work from everywhere and that it was no big deal. Bed rest, work from home, work from Thailand, whatever. It wasn't like that back then. And literally, when I got put on bed rest, there was nothing I could do but be on bed rest and go to the hospital and check on my little bun that was cooking inside. And when I had that time to finally stop, because, you know, when you start a business, all you do is run. And you wake up running. Sometimes you can't even sleep because your mind is running. So when I finally had some time to sit down and think, I started making notes about all of the expensive lessons I had learned in my business. And what I realized is that I would have run my business better if I had had better advice. And so I looked around, you know, on the internet, looked at the books and things that were out, and looked on television. And I said, you know what? The only people that I saw giving out, you know, financial advice even was like Susie Orman and Gene Chasky back then. And I said, you know what? Somebody needs to give small business owners advice because it's not enough to have a good idea. You got to know how to run a business, which is a whole other ball of wax. And so I decided to put myself in charge of ending small business failure. And so I started with my first book, which is Become Your Own Boss in 12 months, which has been in print now, gosh, nine, coming up on 10 years. And it's in its second edition. And then from there, I started a blog called SucceedAsYourOwnBoss.com. From there, we started Small Biz Chat, which I've done for 10 years live every week on Twitter. And once a month, we do it live as a video on Facebook Live. And so it just kept growing and kept growing. And the next thing you know, entrepreneur.com called and said, hey, we'd like you to do a column for us. So I did that for about 2 years. And then next thing you know, the New York Times called and said, hey, we'd like you to write for us. And so I did that for another 2 years and, you know, came out with an ebook called How to Become a Social Media Ninja. And then my latest book, Fix Your Business, came out early last year. And I have had the opportunity to work with over 150 brands who want to help small business owners. And that's always our criteria when a brand approaches us and wants to partner. We look at what they sell and we look at how they sell. And if they are a good product for small business, if it's a product that I would use or that I'm using, we're all for helping them let more small business owners know about it. And in the meantime, my favorite thing to do is to get a big company to pay me to give away something free to my audience. So like my books or webinars or just other resources. And so that's one of the great partnerships that we're able to pull off where it's like I can get a big company to pay me to do a webinar and we let everybody come for free. And that's how I really like to, you know.
Melinda, we need to take a break. We will be right back. We are back for the final segment of School for Startups Radio. Again, thank you so much for being with us. My name is Jim Beach. Check us out at schoolforstartupsradio.com or on Twitter at EntrepreneurJim. Speaking with Melinda Emerson, the incredible small biz lady, let's jump back into the interview. Here we go. All right, so how do we give that advice to someone who's not enjoying school, lost, has no clue what they want out of life? So the 18-year-old kid, no clue what they want. How do we work them through this and help them realize that entrepreneurship is maybe the best path for them?
Well, I think that you have to get a skill in doing something. Like you have to figure out what it is you can sell or what it is you want to sell. And so either you're going to go get a skill or you got to learn basics, business basics, accounting, finance, you know, marketing, so that you can sell widgets or products or something like that. But you can't just go from being 18, graduating from high school, and necessarily thinking you got everything you need to blast forward. You have to go learn how to learn. You got to go learn how to work for somebody and get a good work ethic. And then you got to get you some skills so that you can propel your ideas forward. It's not enough to have an idea, because when you put your shingle out and say you're open for business, you're taking on 10 to 12 jobs at one time, any of which can clothesline you on any given day. Right, Jim? So you got to have a clue about, you know, work ethic and how to hire people and manage people. And the best way to learn that is to go have somebody manage you so you can learn what to do and what not to do. So I believe that people need to go work for somebody else. I believe that people need to get, you know, basic education so they can communicate in writing, communicate over the phone, communicate in person, presentation skills. You know, 90% of what you're selling is yourself. So do you look like somebody's supposed to be talking to? You know, do you know how to present yourself? Do you got a good suit? Do you have a dress that's an appropriate length? Do you know how you're supposed to be presenting yourself so that somebody will be interested in what you have to say? And the other thing you've got to learn, and this is the biggest mistake that I see young entrepreneurs make, is they immediately meet somebody and want to talk about what they do, as opposed to being interested in what the other person does. I teach people all the time, you have to be more interested than interesting. And it's really about give to get. What do you know? Who do you know that can help the person you're talking to? And if you have that attitude, that person 8 out of 10 times will have the same attitude towards you, and figure out who they know, what they know that can help you. And that's really what it's all about. It's about networking skills. It's about presentation skills. You know, business ideas are business ideas, but it's the soft skill stuff that makes successful entrepreneurs. Anybody can sell a widget. That's not really the point. You can have a business. I mean, you can be selling stuff and not really have a business. You have to have a brand, and your brand is you. How do you treat people? How do you get back to people? How do you respond to people? There's all kinds of things that go into this thing we call business, and that's what I think young people miss sometimes.
I love what you just said, Melinda. That is so powerful and such great advice. And all of that is stuff that's right between your ears already if you decide to do it, right? It's just a decision. Just like you decided, hey, I'm going to be the small business lady. That's what your advice comes down to, is making the decision to do what we all already know, right? Treat people good.
Right. But it's amazing how you have to tell people that. I have interviewed so many people, particularly, millennials that want to come work for our company, and they have more skills than anybody else I ever met, but they aren't nice. They'd rather text somebody than talk to them. Like, that's not going to work. You got to be able to work with coworkers. You got to be able to interact with clients. You got to have a good phone manner, you know, and you need to go work for somebody else so that you can see these things in action. So that you know what good practice looks like, and frankly, so you can know what bad practice looks like too.
What about some of the issues we hear when it comes to racial issues of discrimination, lack of access to money, things like that? Are those things that you've experienced in your career? Or what are your thoughts on this?
I definitely think that racism is still alive and well in America, right? But I also don't let that stop me. You know, the way I look at it like this, I am the small biz lady. I'm America's number one small business expert. I am not America's number one black expert. I've never written an article about how to be a successful black entrepreneur because I don't think anybody cares about that. I think people want to know how to be a successful entrepreneur. And so I don't wear it like a brand, like, this is why you should pay attention to me because I'm brown. You know what I mean? I don't think you should give me an opportunity because I'm brown. I think you should give me an opportunity because I'm excellent at what I do and I can solve your problem. I think sometimes it's definitely harder to get access to money, but it's mostly harder to get access to opportunities because you and I both know people do business with people they like, know, and trust. So if you don't have a network, if you don't have, big time people in your network, or you don't have a brother or sister that, you know, is in-house counsel for some big firm that can give you an introduction, you got to bootstrap it. You know, you got to get out there and make your own introductions and make your own way. And I think that that's an issue socioeconomically in as much as it is racially. You know, I think it's very hard for rural entrepreneurs to graduate school. You know, if you went to the same B school as the people giving out the money, you're far more likely to get the money, you know? So I think there's a lot of stuff, and some of this stuff is changing. I do see that there are venture capital firms now that are specifically looking for women or specifically looking for people of color to you know, invest in, but that's still a super drop in the bucket. And at the end of the day, I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. If you build a better mousetrap, the world will be the path to your door. So, yeah, there's definitely things that make it harder. But if you are excellent at what you do, if you pay your bills on time, if you have excellent credit, if you keep your word, you can make it in this world no matter what doors may be shut to you. And I'm living proof of that. You know, I'm not from a rich background. You know, I am somebody who has learned every lesson the hard way. But the one thing that has always saved me is that I share everything I learn. I don't keep it to myself. I write blogs about it. I've written over 5,000 articles about how to start and grow a successful small business, most of which you can absolutely access for free on the internet. So I believe that you are what you put out there, and it doesn't matter who or what you are.
Melinda Emerson, everybody. Thanks, Melinda, for being with us, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Jim. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate everyone for listening. Everyone have a great week, and we will be back next time with more great School for Startups Radio. Take care. Have a great one. Bye now. Oh, go check out schoolforstartupsradio.com and listen to some other shows, too. Thanks.